is a home for you as well. Thank you so much. Now, I want to give you an exciting update, announcement for you. Many of you know that this is a challenging weekend for some, and all of us would be thinking as well about the Postal family. Tomorrow marks 1 year since Barb passed away. And my first order of business when I met with the council last month was to present that we would officially launch a Barb Postal Memorial Kitchen Fund. And so as of today, that is now active. And it is our intent and dream. I know many of you already have shared in this dream to have a renewed kitchen space here in this building. And I know in the midst of a pandemic, many of us miss eating together as a church family. There will be a day that we eat together again. There will be a day that those of us who serve, I love being in the kitchen, those of us who serve and prepare things in the kitchen will do so in a nicer kitchen. And so I'm excited. I know that some funds have already been coming in to the building fund, specifically towards the kitchen. But we look forward to a day that our renewed kitchen space will have a beautiful photo of Barb and be named the Barb Postal Memorial Kitchen. And so what we're going to do over the next few years until that kitchen is completed is every Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to take up a special offering towards that fund. We have a lot of legwork to do over the next while to get pricing and quotes and understand what it would look like to properly have a good kitchen in place. We also need to understand what that would look like in the midst of many other upgrades and updates that need to happen in our church building. So this may take some time, but I want you to know that this is a priority, and we're going to link it to an important legacy in our church family, which is the life and memory of Barb Postal. So, yeah, we can clap for that. I want to let you know, as I said, future years, it'll be the Thanksgiving weekend that we take up a special offering. This year, since it's being announced today, we want to give you the next several weeks to ponder and pray what you might contribute to this kitchen fund, and we'll take the special offering we'll give together on Sunday, November 1st. You'll already notice that on our online giving, on the drop-down option menu, there's already a Barb Postal Kitchen Fund active there. So if you are prepared to give now, you're welcome to do that. And we remind you that tithes don't go there, missions offerings don't go there. This is above and beyond something that we give as a special tribute in memory of Barb and with a vision for a new kitchen and eating space for our church family. I have the privilege, this is my favorite privilege every time I get to do this, to introduce today's speaker, who happens to be my favorite speaker, the most gorgeous speaker, the sweetest heart, the loveliest one. Let me pray and then introduce my wife to speak today. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity for us to open our hearts again to your word. We thank you that the word is living, it's active, it's spirit, and it's life. And we submit ourselves to what your word has to say to us. Would you help our eyes to be opened in greater ways to the living Lord Jesus Christ, our vision now and forever? And everyone who agreed with me said, amen. Amen. Would you join in welcoming Laura to speak today?
Everybody who came up here before me was a lot taller than me. So stuff is pretty high. Morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody at home. I hope there's no glare in front of my face. Sometimes when we're in the auditorium here, I'll have the Facebook Live open to see fun things and what everybody else is seeing. And I've seen some glares, so bear with us if that's the case. Well, I wish I could see, I can sort of see your eyes. I wish I could see all of your faces, but just so grateful to be here, truly so thankful, and it is a privilege and an honor. Mike and I, we feel like the Lord has gifted us this opportunity to be here, that he has provided this season for us and for Comox Pentecostal Church and for this valley. God has a purpose and a plan for the Comox Valley. And I couldn't look at that screen of Barb Postal without just being overwhelmed with emotion and the legacy that she leaves behind here. She's the kind of woman that I think, man, I want to fashion my life. after her. I'm honored to be speaking on Thanksgiving weekend, and she was a woman who spoke and wrote of gratitude and being thankful. And so it's just truly an honor. And Postal Family, we love you. We're thinking about you this weekend. So today I'm going to be talking about Jesus. So that's good. We are starting off this fall season with the first and the most important thing, and that is the reminder that always we set Jesus before us, that Jesus is always our vision. We are a community here at Comox Pentecostal Church that follows a person. We don't follow a plan, a program. We don't actually follow a set of principles. We don't follow an organization. We follow a person, and that person is Jesus. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. That is our anchor verse for this series. I have set the Lord always before me. In this time of COVID, everybody has a need, right? I think we can all sit, and it won't take us long to think of the needs in our lives. But every day, everybody, everywhere has needs in their life. There's never a time when we're need-free. There will be one day, which is a glorious day that we have to look forward to. But while right now, in the present, everyone has a need. You can look on Instagram and you can see people's posts and think, they don't have a need. Clearly, they have it all together. But I can tell you this, that every single person listening at home, in this room, who you see on Facebook and Instagram has a need in their life. And today we're going to talk about the provider of those needs. Today we're going to talk about Jesus. So we are going to read today. You can turn in your Bibles because that's a good thing to do. Turn to your Bibles to John chapter 6. And we're going to read a story about Jesus providing, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to skip to verse 5 just to preserve some time here. Verse 5, when Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread to feed these people? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have even a bite. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, here's a boy with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have them sit down. There was plenty of grass. Fun details. Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the leftovers, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them, and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of leftovers. I'll stop there. Why don't we pray? Lord Jesus, great provider, great supplier, we acknowledge you this morning. I thank you that you are always with us, that we never have to beg you to come and be with us, but that your presence is here right now, wherever people are listening. You are with us, and so we thank you. Would you guide us today? Would you speak? Would you give me the words to say, and would you give us the hearts and the ears to receive? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm kind of famous for, I'm not famous, I'm revealing a secret about myself here. Reading some of these stories about Jesus, it's easy to read it and think, oh, wow, that was a big miracle. And we focus on the breaking of the bread, the passing, the physical miracle that takes place. But when we go back and we read it a few more times, we start to realize that the miracle and the lesson isn't just in God breaking the bread and feeding the 5,000. He is always teaching us. Everything that Jesus did was intentional. Everything had a purpose and a reason. So I want to just touch on three things that Jesus did before he actually even broke the bread and handed it out and did the miracle. The first thing is that Jesus asked a question. Why would he ask a question that he already knew the answer to? The scripture says, he asked, I love this verse, chapter 6, verse 6, it says, he asked this only to test him, for he already knew what he had in mind, what he was going to do. Jesus already knew the answer to his own question, so why did he ask it? It says that it was testing, Jesus was testing Philip. Tests have a positive and a negative kind of, I don't know, connotation or feeling. A lot of young people in this room, you think of tests and you think of math. Something negative, right? And the Bible, the Greek word for this, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but in the Bible it is used for both negative and positive testing. But Jesus here in this context, it was a positive test. It was an experiment, so to speak. If you look up other ways you could use that word, they were experiment or opportunity. Jesus was giving Philip the opportunity to put his faith in Jesus to the test. Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he extended the opportunity to Philip. And I want to say that Jesus doesn't do this to set up Philip to fail. He does it to prove his own faithfulness. He knew, regardless of Philip's answer, that he was going to provide. How good is God that every time we have a need, he knows the answer, he knows the solution, but he comes to us and gives us that opportunity to learn, to grow, and to experience the fullness and the faithfulness of God. Are you a little bit like Philip sometimes? I feel like I constantly am learning the same lessons over and over again. There have been countless times in my life where needs, let's go a physical, tangible need of provision in our lives, where God has done incredible miracles, and I still find myself the next time struggling to believe he's going to do it. Jesus is so good here to say, Philip, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get the money to provide for these people? He's inviting Philip. He's testing Philip. He's giving him an opportunity to grow. He's also helping Philip to see that the problem had no earthly solution. This was a really big problem. There were 5,000 men, likely another 5,000 women and children, so there were a lot of people to feed. Jesus needed Philip to get to the place, and the rest of the disciples, where they realized this is not a problem that we can solve. Lest we confuse ourselves as co-suppliers in the process. Jesus needed Philip to understand that this problem was beyond his ability to supply it, and so he needed the help and the provision of Jesus to do it. There could be no misunderstanding that we are somehow co-suppliers. Partners? Yes. Getting to participate in the miracle? Absolutely. But their provision came from the Lord. The next thing that Jesus did was he gathered the little. Jesus gathered the little, gave thanks, and then distributed it. How many of you know that Jesus is capable to create something out of nothing? Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. However that verse goes, I didn't plan to say that, so I probably just messed it up. But Jesus was creator of the universe. He created something out of nothing. And yet here, it says he took the loaves, he took the little, and multiplied it. Jesus could have snapped his fingers, and he could have had Teslas roll up with Skip the Dishes and sushi for everybody. Imagine the look on their faces. He's capable of crazy miracles like that, out of nothing. But Jesus took the little that Andrew brought from the little boy with the five loaves and the fish, and he used it. Jesus has an inexhaustible ability to supply our needs, and he will often begin with using the little that we bring to the table to supply the rest. We have oftentimes found ourselves, as many young married couples, although we're not so young married anymore, I guess, but in a place where we're trying to land on our feet, and financially things can be tight. And there was a time recently, in the last 5 years, let's say, where we had moved into a home, and it was a big home. God provided that home miraculously. That's another story. But it had so many light bulbs that our energy bill was so high. Our hydro bill was super high. And I knew I needed to change all these light bulbs. I needed to put in the LED efficient ones, because you know that with four kids, you cannot go around turning out all the lights after every single child all the time. There are lights on constantly. I knew the means that I had, and I knew that I couldn't afford to replace all the light bulbs in our home, but I needed, it was a need. We needed to do it to lower that bill. So I prayed, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, this is what I've got to work with. We need you. I need you to do this for us. This is something that would help our family, just by a little, but it would help. And that week, I looked, you know, you scour over the flyers. I used to be an extreme couponer, you know. When I lived in Comox, actually, 12 years ago, me and a few girls, we put London Drugs out of business almost. Like, they actually, the general store, I'm on a rabbit trail, but they actually changed the wording on the coupons because it was so crazy. Like, I had closets full of stuff that I would never use, which is so fun. Like, I don't use, like, Glade plugins, but I got them for free. So that was cool. Actually, in that time, we never paid for Jackson's diapers. That was kind of fun. Yeah, I know. That's pretty good. Anyways, I looked in the flyers. I was scouring over the flyers, and wouldn't you know it, wouldn't you believe it, that in God's goodness, that week, the next Thursday, all the light bulbs were 50% off. And that seems so small, but I was so thankful, and I was so aware that God had provided just this little thing for me. And then that morning, I was so pumped. I was going to be the first one through the doors of Rona. And I'm walking through the parking lot, and this lady pulls up in front of me. And I knew she went to our church, but I hadn't really met her before. And she said, Laura, are you Laura? And I said, yes. She said, oh. And she just started crying. She's like, I was just shopping at Superstore, and I spent the amount of money that you need to spend to get the gift, the free gift that they always offer. And she's like, I got this box, this huge box of kids' snacks for schools. And our kids are grown and gone. And can I walked out of there and I just said, Lord, who can I give it to? And she said, I looked all around the Superstore parking lot and there wasn't a single mom with kids in that parking lot. And here I drive up and you're here. Can I give you this box? And she opens up her trunk and it's this huge box of school snacks and treats and goodies and just this enormous box. I didn't ask God for a box of goodies for my children, but he went one more. So I take the box home. I'm so blessed. I get all my light bulbs, and I get home, and I'm changing all of them, and kids get home from school. We open it up, and they're inside. There's this contest. So I'm like, well, what the heck? I'm on a bit of a streak. So I fill out the card for the contest, and a week later, I got a call, and I won. I won $250 in a gift card to the Superstore. I know. It ended there, but it was one of those situations where, for me, in my heart, in that moment, I needed light bulbs to lower my hydro bill. The Lord knew that. He knew my means, and he said, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to provide the light bulbs. I'm going to bless your children with treats that we wouldn't otherwise buy, because those kinds of things can be expensive. And I'm going to provide groceries for your family. I won't tell you for how long, because groceries are expensive with a big family. But that was, he took what I had And then he used his inexhaustible ability to supply all of our needs. And he gave enough so that we were fully supplied for. Jesus has an inexhaustible ability to supply our needs, and he will often use the little that we bring to the table to supply the rest. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." The next thing that I want to point out in this scripture is that Jesus gave thanks. Remember that Jesus is intentional about everything that he does. He himself is God, and yet he takes the time to give thanks to the supplier. Jesus, in that moment, takes the bread, he holds it in his hands, and he looks up to heaven, and he gives thanks. When we acknowledge where our help comes from, we don't lose sight of the supplier. When we forget to remember the ways that the Lord has provided for us, we can tend to lose sight of his ability to provide for us in the future or in the present. I want to encourage you today, as Mike said before, to recall often, to think upon often the things that the Lord has done for you in your life. Thanksgiving, giving thanks, is the best exercise that you can give your mind and your soul so that you are primed and ready for when the next need comes in your life. Giving thanks lifts our eyes off of the problem and fixes them on the solution. So today, I want to call you to two things. I want to challenge you. The first thing is to arrest the thieves of God's provision in your life. The first thief is acting as though you're above God. That's not just people who think that they're so awesome that they couldn't possibly need God. Putting yourself above God means that you don't trust. A person who puts themselves above God may not trust in God's ability to provide, and so they try to solve those problems on their own. How many times do we find ourselves clamoring and trying to solve the needs in our life and the problems, and we end up in a bit of a bigger problem than we began with? Because we're striving, we're trying so hard. That doesn't mean that we're not wise and use common sense and work hard. It's not a dismissal of those things. But when we place ourselves above God in the way that we think that we need to solve our own problems, it robs ourselves of the opportunity to receive the blessing of the Lord. I just couldn't help but think of Frank Sinatra's song, "I did it my way." How's that working for you? Can I just ask? That's a good question. Sometimes when we're struggling, we just need to ask, how's this working out? How is my way working out right now? Do not put yourself above God. I'm going to read Deuteronomy. I have to move my notes here. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is an interesting little passage. Chapter 10. Nope, verse 10. Chapter 8, verse 10. It says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given to you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and decrees that I'm giving you. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses," yep, "and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have has multiplied, then you will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who is the one who brought you out of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness. He brought you to water, or he brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna in the wilderness." Something that your ancestors had never known. Skipping down to verse 18, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." don't forget to remember. Just as Philip needed to be reminded when he was tested that that problem was too big for God to supply, it was so that we put our trust in him, but also so that we don't confuse ourselves for being a supplier. The second thief is that you are believing that you're less than a child of God. Matthew 6, verse 26, it says, "Think of the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Jesus is so good. He is so good that just like Philip, he's going to be faithful even when you are faithless. That verse, verse 6, it says, he knew what he was doing. He already had the answer to the solution. He asked Philip to partner with him. But even though Philip got the answer wrong, even though Philip lacked faith in that moment, even though Philip didn't realize who he was standing beside, Philip, the reason that Jesus asked Philip, this is my own ponderings, take it or leave it, but if you look through the Gospels, Philip had a hard time catching on the lessons of the Lord. In John 14, it actually says, Philip says to him, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough." And Jesus is like, "Phil, I've been here the whole time. You've seen," he had already done this miracle, and Philip still struggles. Can I just encourage you today that your faith is not a destination? It's a journey. And when you think that you are not worthy, that you are not worthy of the position to be a child of God and to receive all of his blessings, you are robbing yourself of the provision of God in your life. Psalm 139, it says, "You know me. You think about me. You know when I sit and when I lie down. You hem me in. Your thoughts outnumber the sand about me." God loves you. He cares for you. When we better understand ourselves and where we fit in the kingdom of heaven, the better we will be aware of the workings and the provisions of the Lord in our lives. There we will find peace. I heard a great quote recently. It says, "Did you know that we are God's only creatures to depend on the sustenance of heaven? That's how gloriously made you are. That's how important you are. God created you so that you need him. Why? Because he desperately wants to commune with you, to be in relationship with you. We are God's only creatures to depend on the sustenance of heaven. What is that sustenance? That brings me to my second point. It's Jesus. The second thing I'm calling you to do today is behold Jesus, the bread of life. Later on in the same chapter, after Jesus multiplies the bread and hands it out, in the same chapter, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Friends, we have a far greater need than the physical, tangible needs in our lives. We have a spiritual need that only can be met by Jesus. Animals are incredible. We just watched that documentary about the octopus, my octopus teacher or something. How amazing are octopus? Wow. They change color and texture and can grow horns in a moment, and they're unbelievable, but they do not have a spiritual need. God created us humans in this way because he longs to be in relationship with us. He longs to be in deep relationship with us. When that relationship was compromised by sin, he sent Jesus to be the final solution for that problem, the eternal connection. You may be saved, but are you starving today? In the Greek, present tense means continual. So when Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty," he's saying, keep on eating. Keep on drinking. Keep on coming. Keep on believing. You may be saved in this place, but are you starving?
I know that some people in this place today and at home listening may be thinking, this is really cool to hear about the Lord's inexhaustible ability to supply, but this currently does not match up with my situation. And I loved what Mike said before, and I had it in my notes to say it again. Do not adjust your theology based on your current situation. The truth of Jesus is that he has the inexhaustible ability to provide your needs. And I'm not standing up here today just saying, have more faith. Just have more faith. Just believe a little harder. Just do a little more. Try a little harder. Maybe there's a deep sin in your life that's blocking. I'm not saying that today. Jesus is faithful to provide. We may not always feel it, but we also may not always know what his plan is. How many of you have looked back and thought, gosh, I could not have written that better myself? Right? So many times, every time when the Lord does a miracle, according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus, he does it in such a way that when we look back, the only way possible for it to have happened is through Jesus. I want to encourage you today that if you're struggling to believe, maybe you've lost sight. Maybe you're in an incredibly painful situation. Maybe COVID has actually messed up your life, your family situations. Whatever the context may be, whatever the situation, it may not line up with what we're hearing today. But I want to encourage you, it's okay to wrestle. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to wonder, God, where are you? What are you doing? We have to be honest with Jesus. I get a little bit sad when the answer to every problem is from Christians is have more faith. Believe harder. No. It says, Jesus says, come to me and you will never be hungry. Come to me and you will never be thirsty. The only instruction is to come to Jesus. Dine with him. Be with him. Allow him to fill you, to feed you. If you don't have faith, that's okay. We ask for more faith, and it's the Holy Spirit who gives us that faith. So many times when I'm struggling to believe for a situation or anything like that, with the importance of Thanksgiving, I know that's important and that I do my best, but I've got to be honest, I have a terrible memory, like really bad. Mike will, there's times where I'll share this elaborate story, and Mike will say, sweetie, that never happened. And I'm like, what? I'm sorry, what? I've told that to everybody. What do you mean it never happened? Like, when I was a kid, I watched, I would see, America's Funniest Home Videos, and I would think that it happened to me. And I would tell friends that one time I was Gumby for Halloween and was tripping up all the stairs, and my mom's like, no, sweetie, you were never Gumby for Halloween. Like, what? I have a bad memory. So do you know what I do when I pray? Okay, it doesn't happen all the time. So if I tell you stories, they will be verified by Mike Bedell, okay? But when I struggle, when I'm struggling to remember, when there's a need in my life, I will start my prayers with, Lord, help me to remember. Help me to remember the good deeds that you have done in my life. And you know what? Once you start giving thanks, all of a sudden, those memories just start rolling in and flooding back. And they're countless and they're immeasurable because he is constantly the one providing in our lives. I want to challenge you today as I close. If you have lost sight of the Lord in your life as provider, as the psalm says, I've set the Lord always before me. Maybe today you need to set him in front of you again. Maybe you need to bring that need that you've been striving and trying to fulfill on your own to Jesus. And to start with gratitude and to say, Lord, I'm coming because I know you've done it before, and I know you'll do it again. There are things in my life that don't line up necessarily right now in this situation, in this context, in this teaching, that would cause me to doubt. I have pain in my body, like oftentimes a lot of it. And I pray all the time for healing. Does it change my belief that God can heal? No, it doesn't. Do I have to frequently wrestle with that doubt and bring it before the Lord for him to help me? Yes, absolutely. There have been seasons in my life where the pain has been so bad. It's been with pregnancy. But I still struggle, and there's been times where even in my own pain, I have had the extreme privilege of praying for people and seeing their physical need healed. What a gift. Do I get bitter that my need hasn't been met? No. Is it tempting? Yes. But that's why we continually come to the Father. We come to Jesus. We feast with him. We come. We continually come. We continually believe. Jesus loves you. What a simple saying. He loves you. He loves you at home. He cares about you. He thinks about you. And he's inviting you in today. I want to encourage you before we pray, we'll just take a moment and to bring the needs in your life to the forefront of your mind. It may not take you long. You might be like, well, I've actually got it written out right here. I can recall those in no time. Think about them. Wrestle with them. But let's wrestle with from the perspective of the Lord always before us, that he is the provider, that we can come and be fed in his presence. Can we just maybe, if you're comfortable, just put your hands out in front of you to receive. Lord Jesus, great provider, holy supplier, the one who left heaven to come and be with us, we thank you today. We thank you for your many blessings. And we acknowledge the pain, we acknowledge the needs. We acknowledge that so many of them are way beyond our ability to see them through. And I ask, Lord, for miracles. We ask, God, that you would provide today for that need. For this person in the room who has a deep and pressing financial need, God, would you miraculously provide as you have done so many times before? God, would you bless those who are longing for their family to grow and they're not able to in this moment because of whatever complication or challenge? Holy Father, would you touch? Would you provide? In Jesus' name. We bring our needs before you this morning, Lord. We place you at the front. We come back. And for those of us who are starving in this place today, because perhaps we haven't taken the time to eat, to come, to be with you, we come back this morning and we put you back at the center. We place you first. We seek your kingdom first, Lord. And we ask that you would provide. Would you bless my friends in this place today? Would you bless the people at home and their weekends where they dine and feast and remember, and perhaps it's different? Would you be with them? Would you love them? Would you show them your love? And would you help our hearts to receive in Jesus' name? Amen.
Amen. We're going to transition into a time of communion now. As you were coming in, I hope that you were able to grab the little communion packet. And if you missed that, Chad and Tanya may have the basket nearby and be able to bring it. So just slip up your hand if you don't have a little communion packet. I understand that these style of packets may be new to you. They certainly do help during a pandemic. They reduce contact. The top little layer can be peeled off first. It's very thin, and underneath that will be the wafer. If you peel again is where you'll find the juice. At home right now, this would be the time for you to grab a cracker or some juice or some water or something like that so that you can participate along with us together. Go ahead and take it off. I know it's going to make a real sound in here, but we might as well celebrate it. How many of you have ever eaten a meal at home and it didn't make sounds? It makes sounds when we eat together. This is a new experience for us right now. Once you have the bread, the little wafer, I want you to hold it in your hand, and I want you to break it. It says in Scripture that the Lord's body was broken for us, so I want you to break it apart so that you can see that there's not just one piece, there's two pieces. There's a brokenness to it. I want to read a Scripture to you before we share in communion together. From Proverbs chapter 25, it says this, "If your enemy is hungry," let me say that again, "if your enemy is hungry, give them something to eat. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink." It's a funny proverb, I suppose, to include in a communion time, but I want you to think about it again as I read it one more time. If your enemy is hungry, give them food to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give them something to drink. That's Proverbs 25, verse 21. When I think of that passage, I think of what it says in Romans 5, that while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, what happened? Christ died for us. Do you know what happened? God saw in you and I a hunger and a thirst. And in that moment, we were not his friends. We were actually his enemies. Our fallen nature, our brokenness, our sin separated us from God. Every one of us, every one of us has lived out moments in our lives where we live out the Frank Sinatra song. We did it our way, right? We've done it our way. And what does that make us? It makes us one that's chosen to worship self instead of God, even if it was just for a few moments. That makes us an enemy of God. And while we were enemies, what did God do? He died for us. He saw our hunger. He saw our thirst. So what did he do? He provided his own body, his own blood. And so Laura calls us today to behold Jesus, the bread of life. I want you to look at his great provision. What he did is he fed us and he turned an enemy into a friend. Practically, some of you have a difficult person in your life and you're wondering, how does this ever change? It's not avoidance. It's sustenance. Feed an enemy and you might find a friend. It's what God did. He's provided something magnificent for us through his body. Would you take the bread, the cracker, the wafer in your hand? Do you see it's broken? Scripture says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, just as he had done when he multiplied it before. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you take the bread right now, thanking God for his provision? Picture that from the brokenness of God comes the promise of wholeness. Some of you are very aware of an area of brokenness in your life. When we share in the Lord's table together, it's a physical reminder to our bodies that his provision of wholeness is on its way. Take the cup with me now. In the same way it says in Scripture, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and people. Better agreement." And in place of the death that you and I deserved, Christ took it for us that we might live. Let's take the cup together with thanksgiving. From your own heart right now, would you just speak words of thanks to God for his provision? Friend, you were hungry. You were thirsty. You were an enemy of God. Maybe some watching today or in this room have felt a distance from God or maybe never known a closeness. You know what it's like to feel like an enemy of God or to realize you are one. Today is a moment where you remember he's made a way for you to become a friend, to be near to him. Put a word of thanks on your heart to God right now. Would you stand with me? Laura's going to lead us in a closing song to ponder and pray together. I want to invite you, beneath your mask, to say along some of these words with her. Make these as a declaration as we remind ourselves that in the face of every need, we look at every need through the lens of Jesus Christ. He is always our vision. May he always be at the center of our personal lives and our church family. Let's declare this together. And online right now. Father, I'm praying for your blessing to touch each life in a meaningful way. Father, we look to you as our provider. We repent of times that we've looked to ourselves as the source of meeting needs of all kinds. Father, you are the one that meets our deepest relational needs, hopes, and dreams. You meet the need of this church. You meet the needs of our lives. And Jesus, I'm praying that in a special way, faith would rise in each heart because of the grace of your Spirit to trust you for all things. Today, this weekend, may we go into the remaining parts of this weekend together with family or wherever we may find ourselves with a true spirit of gratitude aimed at you, our provider, Lord Jesus. We pray these things together now. I pray your blessing goes with each one in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. If you're going to chat together a little bit, that would be wonderful. You might have to step outside to take the mask off to do that. Please greet others as you leave today, and we'll see you next Sunday and online.